Hey, my name's Gavin O'Mara. I'm the CEO and founder of FE News, and welcome to episode 8, the grand finale episode of VoxX Futures. It's a total co-production between UFI and FE News, and today we've got like a really, really, really cool show. I think we could be talking for hours and hours and hours of this, but we've only got 30 minutes today. So we're imagining the future of VoxX. My co-host today is Kev Jones from UFI. Kev, I wonder if you could join us in the studio. Hey, Kev, how are you?
Good morning, Gavin. Nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
Oh no, thanks for joining us. We've got a really cool show, so thanks for bringing together two really, really cool guests as well. We've got Tom from Century, we've got Christoph from Body Swaps as well, and we're looking at all sorts of different things around the future of VoxX. But maybe to kick off, maybe if you could maybe set the scene a little bit. There's a lot of future gazing here, so I'm going to probably be looking up a lot into my sort of like brain area of where we're at for the future. But technology has really shifted, particularly the pandemic has so sped this up. Technology has substituted, it's shifted from being a substitution for classroom training, but making entirely new learning experiences possible. How have you sort of seen the shift around that, around sort of technology and whole new sort of learning experiences?
I remember going back 15 years ago where, the idea of bringing technology into the classroom was just digitizing your notes from paper handouts. And then fast forward to the pandemic, we witnessed probably 10 years worth of innovation within, the first 6 months. So it really just exploded. And I think the awareness of the different tools were just out of necessity suddenly came to the fore. And now we're just seeing this huge, huge drive to make sure that it continues.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is it was totally out of necessity, wasn't it? And I totally agree. Everyone just would the original sort of area would be sort of just replacing your paper-based notes into like into sort of
Into
into
Word
digital,
or something, right?
like wow, like PowerPoint, But like I think what's interesting is learning experiences, and I think is that immersive and how we can sort of bring learners in. I think maybe the pandemic sort of started when we were sort of isolated and we was in our own sort of world and bubbles. It sort of opened up this immersive environment for people, didn't it? Not only like the educator, but the learner, the employer, everybody. And I think that's what I think is really interesting of what we're going to be covering today around AI, VR. I want to go into metaverse. I want to be going into blockchain and all sorts of stuff. I just think it's really, really interesting.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, that idea of just creating something entirely new. I remember doing an experiment with just some Google Cardboards and a free app from Harvard, where we allowed a load of sports science students to just walk around the inside of a heart, and just watching them being able to look up and look around and see heart strings. And it was just entirely impossible, 10 years ago to experience that with their own devices, with low cost kit, highly accessible, and just more powerful. You could then, speak to the learners and they would actually be able to understand how a heart worked from being inside it. You just cannot get that from, a traditional textbook.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, that's a bit of an improvement on overhead projectors, isn't it? It's like a I just think that's really, really cool, isn't it? I wonder if we could bring in our guests. So we got Tom from Century, so Tom Facker, Chris Mannett from Body Swaps. Hey guys, how are you?
Good morning, very well.
Morning, very good. Yourselves?
Yeah, really, really good. I'm really excited about today, and I know you've both got really, really cool projects, but also want to get all our heads together and do a bit of future gazing as well, to be honest. Chris, I wonder if I could start off with you because Body Swaps is all around virtual reality. So maybe if you could give us a little bit of an insight as to how virtual reality, Body Swaps, can redefine what is possible for the learner. A bit like the heart whole experience with Kev there. So I mean, if you're a learner, got to blow your brain, isn't it, to be able to get inside the heart, right? Rather than when you sort of when I was a kid in like a lab cutting up about 5 year cutting up a heart and no one knows what was going on. What can we do in VR which you can't do in real life that could be so immersive and so differential and inspiring to learners basically?
Yeah, sure. Last week we had a panel with four educators in FE called The Metaverse Versus the Real World. And the idea was to ask them what they thought about this whole, you know, metaverse, schmetaverse buzz, because we've only heard from technologists. We haven't heard from educators. And it was very much a reality check on, you know, what are you doing today? What's possible? Also, what are the limitations of VR and technologies like this? And to
Chris, can I just say one thing? I'd had a discussion with Kev the other day, actually, about metaverse. I mean, different, maybe some of our audience might not know what metaverse is, actually, who may not be on cutting edge of technology. Could you maybe explain what metaverse is and then stepping into next?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are, you know, as many definitions as there are people, but the broadest definition is the metaverse is the future of the internet, and it's all going to be in 3D. And so that mixes different technologies, virtual reality, augmented reality, AI, and data. Maybe the most symbolic idea of the metaverse is this idea of entering a multiplayer world in virtual reality that's a persistent world. So whenever you come back, you have your identity, you have your land, you have your friends, you have et cetera. And so this persistent world could typically be a campus in, you know, every institution could have their own. And so Michael Lavis at George Brown College in Canada, they created a digital twin of a Hilton hotel. So you physically in VR enter a Hilton hotel, and they use it for the event planning course. And so what they do is they have the teacher and 20 students in a virtual ballroom, you know, moving tables and chairs around. And then the teacher walks around with the learners and say, well, you know, the flow of people is not going to work here. And if there's a fire there, that's not going to work, and so on. So that's one example. Another one from Robbie at Georgian, this time still in Canada, was 1 in 100,000 people has a condition called situs invertus, where your organs are the other way around, right? Your heart is on the right and stuff. When you train to be a surgeon, you have to work on corpses. That's what you have to do in reality. Good luck finding a corpse that has situs invertus. And so the idea here is in VR, you can swap that immediately. And then with body swaps, the idea is to you know, train yourself for job interviews and then sit in the shoes of the interviewer to watch yourself back from their perspective. So learning through self-reflections. The common trait between all of those examples is what I like to call the return on impossible. It's the second ROI. And so you should do virtual reality when it's something that's too dangerous, too expensive, too rare, or plain impossible to do in the real world. And so the idea is bring experience to the classroom. It's not replacing the classroom, is making learning more experiential, because that's how we learn best as human beings.
Yeah, no, definitely. And thank you. I'm sorry I jumped in on you about metaverse. Well, I just thought if we talk about it, better for people to get the concept to begin with, if you know what I mean, then they can they can structure it. But proper cool. Tom, I wonder if I could bring you in, and thanks for being so patient there. I know that Century Tech winning loads of awards at the minute, we were just saying before the show, is, you know, AI, but helping learners improve their skills, particularly around maths and English, but often after there's not been the greatest learning experience from school. How can AI help with this? What, yeah, you know, how does AI sort of help people, you know, sort of basically in a way redefining they are? How can AI be intelligent around sort of helping people and supporting them in ways that, you know, we haven't been able to do before?
Great. Yeah, no, really, really good question. I think to start that off, you've got to really establish the difference between secondary education and primary education and FE. And my background, I was a secondary teacher, so I didn't have this experience. And I kind of, actually, our first UFI project, I remember walking into BCOT, so Basingstoke, and meeting Anthony Bravo. I'm sure people listening here probably know Anthony Bravo. And he
got the greatest gloves in the world in his office.
He does indeed. I had a good chat with him, and he was like, well, look, you really haven't appreciated the difference. This is four years ago. So the difference in FE is that you've got a lack of time. So I taught secondary maths. I had learners for 5 years, and then a large portion still didn't pass, ended up in FE. They had their confidence hit. So they've been told fairly recently, oh, you failed. You didn't get a C in old money or a four now. So their confidence is hit, which again, a secondary school, they don't really have that. And the engagement, again, at secondary school, it is compulsory. There are detentions. You can really like force students to do things. With FE, again, you haven't got that. So So that's where you really need to be smart with what you're doing. That's where like technology, in this case, kind of AI, can really, really come in. So first of all, you've got 24/7. Technology doesn't sleep, doesn't need to rest. While like humans and teachers, they do. Trust me, they really, really do. So I'm now sitting here not in a classroom, is that you need a bit of rest. And it allows kind of that unlimited practice. But the main issue that I came across when kind of working with FEs originally, in whether it's in maths and English GCSE or whether it's functional skills, is you're doing a curricula, especially in GCSE, that was designed to be 2-3 years. And you're doing it in 30 weeks at best, with all the other issues around confidence and motivation and engagement. And you've got all those issues as well. But the biggest blocker really is I had 2 years and I quite often had like 4 or 5 hours a week with these learners, and they're still not passing and then ending up in FE. How do you kind of change that? So what you can't do is have a curriculum which is, well, we cover every learning objective. It's impossible. It's mathematically impossible to do that in like the 30 weeks you have. So this is where AI can really, really come in. Because again, what a lot of colleges do, and they do it really, really well, is go, well, let's reduce the curriculum and work out on the key topics. But unfortunately, not every learner is the same. If every learner had the same gaps, teaching would be really, really easy. It's not. All learners have different gaps. And it's impossible. Like, differentiation has been a real thing in the past. It's still a bit of a buzzword. Differentiation to every single learner in a classroom is impossible for a human being. Human beings can't do that. Technology can. So this is where kind of AI can come in, about finding those gaps and plugging those gaps. But each learner's got different gaps at different speeds. And so by finding each of those gaps and teaching those gaps, it can have a real, real impact. But of course, in no way should any technology ever be like a teacher replacement tool. Because what it also is doing in Century's case, but in loads of other examples, is then providing the teacher and the tutor with that data, saying this adult learner or this 16-year-old, 17-year-old has done extra work at home, evenings, weekends, in the study center. They've tried really hard. They're still struggling on this one topic. Perfect. In they go. They can really, really focus on that. I think one of the biggest blockers I found when I was kind of teaching year 11, I taught some A-level maths and some kind of research GCSE as well. You'd say to a learner, where do you need to improve? And that you'd be lucky if they go, algebra? You're like, well, yeah. You know, algebra is a huge thing. You can't just like study algebra. Like, algebra is probably about 200-300 different subtopics in there. At whatever level you're working at, you really struggle to know your own weaknesses, whether yeah. that is a GCSE, a functional skills, or even like a degree level if you're learning like an online course. If you knew your own weaknesses, it'd be quite easy to study them. So again, what AI can do, and what we do at Century, with over 100 colleges in the country, is going to try and remove that from learners. So learners, your job is to focus on learning and practicing. Let technology find those gaps for you. You don't need to work out what page of the textbook you should turn to. That's madness. We'll tell you that it is working out a definition of verbs, or how to use apostrophes, or it's algebraic equations. That technology do that lifting. Technology is designed to do that. And of course, with AI, what it's doing is taking that student's data and every other hundreds of thousands of learners that we've got, and going, right, let's map all our patterns across and work out where we can have the most efficient pathway for you to help you achieve your goal, whether that is your resit or your functional skills passing or whatever it is. And that's what we do.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I think there's a term which is being used, it's coming around full sort of circle again around cobots, but it's sort of working, us as humans working in collaboration with technology for it to actually do that. Like you're saying, the heavy lifting for us to be able to actually do that differential that we just can't do, like, to individuals. Chris, I can hear you. You're going to jump in on that one. What I was going to ask everyone is how can we bring in different elements of technology into our day to day? And I want to open it up to everyone as to how can we bring that in. You know, if there's an educator looking at this, or a leader looking at this, thinking, you know, this sounds absolutely epic. How can I be able to, you know, free up my sort of educators or my sort of learning hours to be able to then, you know, actually really focus on what the learner really needs? Chris, I can tell you're dying to jump in, so I'll go straight to you.
it's this is the difficult bit, the role of the educator. And I think Tom touched on it, and the fact that the tech does not replace the educator, but it changes their role. When we ask our educators what they thought about, you know, using VR and whether they should replace the classroom or not, what they said is the role of the educator is to, you know, transmit knowledge, but it's also to teach people how to interact with one another. And that is something that only really happens in the real classroom. And so find this way to blend technologies in the curriculum is the challenge. I think the first step right now, at least when it comes to VR, is exploration. So I encourage anyone who listens to this to, you know, try new things, try it with students, see what works. You know, do you do in big group, in small groups, do you do synchronously, asynchronously, remotely, not remotely? There's no perfect recipe. The second aspect is, for every pound you spend on the tech, spend £2 on the human. You need to train the educator, you need to support them. And then the data side obviously is very important. Not only the learning performance, but also the engagement. And it's gonna be a long way forward, but that idea that you just push, Kevin, of collaborative intelligence is ultimately what's going to help learners just, you know, build confidence in their own skills, and that self-efficacy is what drives, you know, behavioral transformation and better performance in the real world. So I'm hopeful but conscious that it's a long way forward.
I think another thing that's important as well is to think about this new technology from the entire learner journey's perspective as well. It's not just a new piece of tech and think, okay, we can throw this in at this part. We need to consider, you know, their entire experience. What are they coming in with, current skills, and how is this going to work in a classroom setting? You know, we can't just maybe use the old models with the new tech. I know, Chris, we've spoken about having like an innovation lab where that's where you invest in the high end, you know, VR headsets. And it's not something that you need a class set of, you know, it's something that's loaned, just almost like the new, you know, the new library where you can go and get a headset off the off the shelf. So we need to rethink that from a learning design perspective as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I was going to ask you, Kev, because you're seeing lots of different projects sort of in seed, in, you know, sort of in blossoming into fruit. What do you that's interesting about the VR headsets and sort of a library approach. What other ways are people able to be getting involved with using technology? Like as Tom was saying, it's about raising confidence and sort of doing the heavy lifting for educators. What other ways that people can get involved, but they don't have to have like huge spends on stuff, where they can actually start to be using like that Harvard free app that you use around the heart and stuff? You know, what ways can people get involved?
Yeah, there's loads of ways, and I think firstly, it comes down to confidence. I think it comes down to confidence from learning, you know, practitioners and providers to just to have the confidence to experiment and to play. As I said, you know, Google Cardboards now for a few pounds each, and using learners' own devices, it's the technology accessibility is less of an issue now than it was, you know, 10 years ago. So I think, and the other thing that's interesting is how some of these technologies are all starting to come together. So it's not these disparate blocks of, we need to use AI, or we need to use, you know, blockchain or VR. We're now layering those on top of each other. So, both Tom and Chris, you know, using those, Chris is having, you know, AI to analyze your interview skills, and then present that back to the user. So it's that crossover that's starting to create a really interesting space.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I've got a question for, and I'm going to ask it first to you, Tom, because I want to give everyone loads of time on this, because I think, Kev, you really touched on it here. Is that blending of everything, adding everything together, is that really exciting space for me? And I just think it's just really, really cool. If you could sort of look to the future and dream big of what you want it to be, what do you see, like, Tom, as future emerging trends that are on the horizon? I mean, Kev touched on it, but I'm, you know, you're like a pioneer in AI, but, you know, what about blockchain? You know, Chris mentioned metaverse. You know, we've got blending AR, VR. What do you see the future to be? What could it be? You know, what, how can we sort of inspire people really?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. I think for a long time, education wasn't really kind of changed or developed. The technology is always seen as like a side piece. And now it's really come to the forefront. And I think what's key, first of all, is that what the pandemic has shown us is technology can have a huge impact and there's lots more to come, but categorically, it's with the teacher. I think some people have always been pushing, you could replace teachers with technology. I think the pandemic has shown that isn't going to work. So why I think the technology that's really going to have power in the future is ones that work it side to side. So I think credentialing is really, really interesting. I think the idea of having your old, like, whether it's GCSEs or functional skills or degrees on bits of paper, I think those going into whether it's the blockchain or credential system, fine, but also your smaller things. I think your smaller, quicker qualifications then being credentialed is really, really exciting. And that can have a real impact, especially with your in the FE world, with those learners who want to get these smaller qualifications and build up their portfolio. They're doing it while they're working or they're rescaling as an adult learner. I think one really kind of quite biased one that I've got is that we've obviously won this UFI grant looking at kind of really, really smart initial assessments. And that's going to be a really, really powerful thing, I think, going forward. I think we're going to see a huge wave of reskilling. As the technology grows in the wider economy, not just in education, there is going to be, unfortunately, people have to retrain and reskill. When they're going to need to do that, trying to establish what their educational needs are is really, really hard. So really, like, smart, intelligent initial assessment systems are going to be really, really powerful. And we're really excited to work on the UFI with that. But I think one of the key things that's really exciting about all this technology is that it should hopefully, over time, help level the playing field in education. And that is so important that actually what we are seeing is better technology that's having a huge impact, whether that is AI to make things more efficient and smarter and more intelligent, or whether it is things like VR, which are allowing you to be in a ballroom and set up chairs and table where, as a regular student in a college in the UK, perhaps you couldn't. But I bet at some educational establishments, you can do some of those things. Or if you go to some of the best private schools, you probably fly off to the jungle and go and explore it. And lots of us would never experience that. VR allowing you to do that is incredibly powerful. And so I think actually what technology's got the power to do is increase education, make it more engaging. But of course, my real passion is how it actually, like, level the playing field, that, like, this kind of postcode lottery, technology can really kind of disrupt that. And that's what should be disrupted, is that postcode lottery.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And I think it's interesting that you're saying, like, yeah, technology shouldn't be replacing educators. I think everyone, like you're saying, understands that. You know, look at the way that technology was tried to be used, and, you know, they had good intentions with it. Then with teacher assessed grades, it's all very different. Do you know what I mean? But I think you've got a really good point around initial assessment and using technology to be able to assist that. Yeah, it helps us be more productive, doesn't it? You know, if we're understanding where the learner is at, what we need to build upon, why no one's the same. I think, you know, that's really, really interesting. Chris, can I bring you in? What do you see as emerging technology trends for the future, and how that can equip and be additional to educators and for learners and for employers? We're talking about VocTech as well here, you know, so this is all around employer as well.
Well, I'm going to say Tom covered a lot of ground. It was a fantastic summary, and I agree on every point. You just mentioned, Gavin, the word employers, and I think that's the key here, is it's about the work readiness piece. What it means is the, you know, better assessment, credentialing, the fact that with AI and data in general, you can assess people competency in a much more precise and relevant way than you can with a quiz or a traditional exam, mean that, you know, technical skills get you the interview, soft skills get you the job and get you the career. And and I think what we can do now is, you know, better personalized learning, better assessment is ultimately really allow every student to unlock their full potential and to hopefully find a career not only that they deserve, but in which they will thrive. And so that's my hope for those technologies.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Kev, what do you sort of see for the future? You got a good understanding of lots of different projects going on. I'm dead keen to hear what you got to say on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got to admit, I mean, I'm really excited about this, the kind of the concept of what metaverse could bring. I think the idea of being able to have this online, persistent virtual world where learners can, you know, discover new skills, gain those skills, demonstrate those skills and evidence them. You know, we have online portfolios before, but imagine, you know, these virtual portfolios. You could go and meet employers in this space, or discover who's looking for the skills that I've now just acquired, and then during that interview, you know, actually demonstrate, take them to your virtual portfolio and show what you can do. So yeah, I think there's you know, there's immense power from all of those technologies coming together, again with blockchain being able to, you know, verify and prove that this is you doing this is going to be incredibly important. But I think overall for me, the biggest thing is about breaking down those barriers. It's about reducing that divide, and as Tom says, you know, really leveling the playing field. You know, no matter what skills you're coming to this with, whether you've got, you know, how much time you've got, wherever you are in your career, that there will be, you know, a route for you to access and gain and demonstrate these, you know, new skills, so you can reach your full potential.
Yeah, no, I think that's very, very cool. And I think like you're saying, what Tom has said, Chris, you said it as well, you know, like around totally leveling up the playing field is, you know, like you're saying, Tom, it isn't a postcode lottery. You can open this up to everyone to experience brand new things. You know, they haven't got to be jetted off to the jungle to experience it. I mean, that's not doing the environment any good. Do you know what I mean? It'd be nice to have a nice holiday. Do you know what I mean? But it ain't doing the environment any good. And it's just like, how do we then level that? So as employers, you look at it from a recruitment hat, can also really see using different tools as well that look beyond the CV and look beyond gatekeepers that are stopping people about to go into certain roles because of postcode, because of like different elements that they can then highlight with micro credentialing the future. I just think it's really, really, really interesting. We're nearly out of time, but I want to ask you all, like, if you could dream and dream big, what would you want to see for the future of VocTech? Kev, what would you want to see?
Well, I think I just probably summarized that in my previous answer, I guess. But it's definitely about that, you know, that leveling the playing field. But I think the other thing to remember, again, from learners' perspective, we've got the next generation coming through, right? They are growing up playing Fortnite, Roblox. Like, they're going to expect this. So from us, as you know, as educators and technology providers, you know, we need to be building those learning experiences that are, you know, equally as engaging as all of the entertainment that's available, so that, yeah, this, the next generation just see lifelong learning as just a normal part of life. Yeah, so that's what I'm excited to see.
Yeah, no, definitely. Tom, what would you want to see if you could dream bigger around the future of VocTech?
Yeah, I think Kev saying lifelong learning is really spot on. I think, as I mentioned, leveling the playing field, but I think the pandemic has made it even worse. There's probably things we aren't even aware of how bad it's become for some learners. So I think what VocTech is doing and will continue to do is support companies in finding those areas to help learning short-term, long-term in different ways. Not just in math, obviously we're focused on maths and English, but the VR stuff is fascinating. So I think really supporting companies on deliverable outcomes that have a real impact on the learners that we all care about. That's, I think, where the VocTech is going. I think it's got a great journey so far.
Yeah, no, cool. Chris, what do you want to say if you could dream big?
So if I dream big, when I was talking to Jamie Waller from the London Screen Academy, so that's a film and TV school in the UK, and he said, I wish I could in VR have a virtual film set where my students all come, you know, the set designers, the makeup artists, the light guys, the camera operator, and they all shoot a virtual movie all together virtually with the teacher. At LSA, they can do that. They have the equipment. They have to book 4 studios, but they can do that. Nowhere else in the country can they do this. With this technology, they could do it everywhere. And they could do it for films. They could do it for social care. And so my big, big dream, with talking way further down the line, is this idea of the infinite college. There's a virtual place where you're not limited by your postcode. You can get, you know, a fair assessment on who you are and what you want, and you can go and study and practice whatever you're best at with, you know, with the best teachers and meet people from around the country or around the world to do that with. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that sounds really, really cool. Kev, we're just out of time, but it's 10 o'clock, so we could probably do that big announcement that is going to be going out everywhere. I didn't know if you want to mention anything about...
Just say that, UFI are pleased to announce that the next round of funding is launched today. So there will be information around a £1.5 million pot available for VocTech projects that are really looking for to just, you know, develop that spark of a new idea, you know, to prototype, to test, to validate the hypothesis that some new tech could bring. So yeah, there's more on the website at ufi.co.uk.
And we've got release on FE News, be live now. So everyone, thank you so much for today. I think we could talk forever on this. Maybe it's a one for the future. But thank you, everyone. I can't believe this season is over. I've really loved it. To the team at UFI, Kev, you know, what brilliant two guests that you brought here. Tom and Chris, thanks for joining us. Thomas, yeah, thank you so much for bringing everything together in the background as well. Team FE News, Leah, thanks for bringing this all together. Kelly and Finley, thank you so much. We'll see you January 2022 for season twos. And thank you, and I hope this has inspired you. It's exciting, isn't it? You know, we're stepping into this new world where we're going away from chalk and talk and really, really stepping into just such cool environment to be able to, you know, learning all lifelong. I think lifelong learning is a bit rubbish. I think it should be learning all lifelong. And guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Really, really enjoyed our chat today, and see you all really, really soon. And audience, thank you for joining us all throughout this season. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks everybody.
Cheers, guys.